Jade Elliott is joining us from Aumataroa Eco Tours that explore Māori knowledge, ancestral history, customs, protocols. It's an ecotourism business that's not even a year old, and it's been picked up as one of the world's top cultural experiences by National Geographic. Jade Elliott, kindly with us for a kōrero about that, mate. Hey, Jade, tēnā koe, ko Dale tēnā.
Oh, morena, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Jade. Hey, that's cool. You guys have been acknowledged by National Geographic, which is a pretty prominent kaupapa and company. Maybe you'd be kind enough, and our people might not know where Aumataroa is, and how did the Eco Tours kaupapa come about? Set the stage with a bit of an overview of the mahi, please, Jade.
Yeah, so we are based in Te Tiko, or if people aren't familiar with Te Tiko, in Whakatane in the Eastern Bay of Plenty. So we undertake cultural and nature tours up in our forest, our Ahuwhenua forest, Aumataroa. And essentially it was driven from our Kiwi project that we started in 2007. So we got funding from, we receive funding every year from the government to help increase our Kiwi population and just help return our native forest back to our land. So it's over 7,000 hectares, our forest up there. And so the project's been really successful. We started off with 20 Kiwi in the forest, and we've got, on the last count, which was last year, we've got over 130 now. So we're really excited about that. And the whole idea was that people started reaching out to us based on the success of the project, just to want to get involved, and it was from there that the Eco Tours was born.
And it's obviously, you know, touching hearts too. Talk with us about an experience that somebody, they'll hear, hey, this is a neat experience, go and check it out. And next thing you know, you've got somebody from the States or Australia or whatever. Obviously, interested in the ngahere anyway, or you wouldn't be guided to an Eco Tour site. But what will you share with them, and in what way?
Yeah, so the superstar, or the celebrity, we like to say, is our Kiwi. It's all around the Kiwi conservation. So we escort our manuhiri, our visitors, up into our forest. We transport them up there. It's a private forest, so no public access. They come, we give an overview of our Kiwi conservation program, and depending on the time of the year, you can get involved. You can help check some traps, or you can help do a health check on a kiwi, or if we're releasing some kiwi into the forest or lifting up eggs, you can get involved as you'd like in that. And of course, you know, with Māori, any manuhiri, we always like to fill their pukus before they depart, and we also have beautiful views from up there in the forest. We have we take the opportunity to have a little bit of a meditation and a karakia, and just kind of grounding you and letting you walk away with a sense of, you know, giving back. Also, because we're all locals, you get to meet all of our whānau. We say you arrive as manuhiri, but you leave for nonga. So with that sense of connection and kinship.
Tēnā koe, it sounds like a rather intimate experience too. And Jade, I've been told by many that, you know, they can get visitors in other parts of the world. What effectively most visitors here want is a unique experience, and many of them seeking out interactions with our people, Māori. The stories we tell, the aroha we have for our ngahere and for our manu, in this case, Kiwi, is a big, big driver. What about this intimate transferal of knowledge and of manaakitanga? How important is it to the success here of Aumataroa Eco Tours?
Yeah, well, essentially, you know, part of our kaupapa is all we're actually doing is an extension of what our ancestors and what our elders have done for years and years. It's just passing on that knowledge so that it's left, you know, for future generations to look after our whenua, to share the knowledge, not just the conservation side of it as well, but also our cultural practices. So that is a huge part of our tours, and how we, it helps drive our values and how we operate. And that's why, Dale, when you talked about intimate, we minimise our groups. We have no more than 12 at a time because we want to have that one-on-one connection with each and every person who comes through our forest. Hmm.
What about one of the, just as an example, a reaction? I mean, seeing a kiwi in the wild is pretty special for our own people.
Oh, yeah.
But for some from overseas who've heard of this amazing creature, all of a sudden they're quietly weaving their way through the ngahere with support and maybe with head torches on, and then all of a sudden you come across exactly what they were hoping for. What's been the reaction you can recall?
Oh, yeah, you know, like amazement and just lots of oohs and ahs and just the smile that it brings to not just international, but even our own people who have come and enjoyed that experience. And to actually, I guess, you know, walk into their world and their land and just see how they, how our Kiwi live and thrive. It's an experience unlike any other, really. Yeah.
What about your own personal background to this mahi, Jade? How did you get involved?
Yeah. So I actually used to own a tourism business, which was similar. It was culture and nature tours. I was affected by COVID, obviously. I had to close the business down, but I'm also a beneficiary of our Omatirua Rangitaiki Number 2 Trust, who is our parent company, and they were just looking for a project manager to get the business up and running, and so I put my hand up and I was lucky enough to be able to get involved.
So it started with 20 Kiwi, there's 130 now. What sort of population might Omatirua be able to sustain of Kiwi going forward?
Yeah, well, one of the attributes of the Kiwis, they're very territorial, and they actually, for their size, they command a lot of land. So even though we've got, you know, 7,000 hectares up there in the forest, it's only going to be enough for a certain number of Kiwi. Look, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure how many that would be, but what's positive for us is that we have neighbouring reserve lands as well. So the idea is that we, you know, when our Kiwi, when we've run out of room, I guess, in our forest, we will, you know, the neighbours will hopefully benefit from having Kiwi in their whenua as well.
Tēnā koe. As I mentioned, you've been named as one of the world's top cultural experiences for 2024. Are you worried that this recognition may adversely affect the very thing that makes it unique? That's the protection of Te Tai o Māori. Next thing you know, they'll be lining up at the gate in numbers that you can't accommodate.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of our values, is about being small and intimate. So we at this point, we're not looking to increase that, even though we may become popular or may have more demand placed on us. Our value at the moment is just to maintain those small numbers. And the essence of it is actually to look after the land and look after the creatures of the land. So anything that's going to have an adverse effect on that, you know, we definitely won't be going down that pathway.
Tēnā koe, it's been lovely to have a kōrero with you, Jade. Congratulations on how you've been able to help the organisation to get this international recognition. And as you've touched on, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for those who head up into the ngahere with you. And good old Texas, eh, comes up with the gold. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Jade Elliott is the operations manager for Matarua Eco Tours. You might like to go up and visit their Kiwi too. Lovely to have a kōrero with you, Jade. Thanks very much for sharing some time. Tēnā koe. Tēnā koe. Okay. Kia ora, tō mātou koe.